We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and look at a verse of scripture that is, you know, when you really think about it, it's just remarkable that we get asked or commanded to do this. And it's in verse 7. It says, casting some of your care, casting all your care upon him, referring to God, for he careth for you. And what a wonderful truth really that is. The word care basically means care or concern. It also refers to, it's the same word in Philippians 4:6, be anxious, or be careful, says in the King James, but it's basically be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. It's that, it's a dividing of the mind, where you got two things going on in the head, and it's called anxiousness. And we're to cast all that. The word casting means to throw upon or place upon. And we're to cast all those cares, those concerns, on him. And the reason is because he does care for you. You ever tell somebody some concerns you may have on your life or about something, and they're like, I don't care. Or they put, you know, the old thing, you know, put the hand in front of you, talk to the hand, you know. But there's a lot of people you could say to your concerns, and I'll, okay, well, that's fine. You'll, you know, have no interest. But here there's a guarantee. Cast your care upon him, all your care upon him, for a reason being he cares for you. And that's quite marvelous when you think about how big that really is, that God does care for us. He has a concern, an actual concern for us and the things in our hearts. So how many do we cast? We may have 12 concerns rolling around in our head today. How many do we cast? I remember before, when I was first getting an order before then, sometimes people, they would say, oh, I would, especially when I met Susan's mom, she goes, oh, I would never ask God for, pray for that. That's so small. I don't want to bother him with such a small thing. I'm like, huh? I thought you were supposed to just pray to God. You're not supposed to delineate as to what big and little. But all your care upon him. And that's our choice. We can carry the burden ourselves, or we can cast it on him. Just what a privilege. Let's look at verse 38, chapter 4, the Gospel of Mark. Verse 38, chapter 4, the Gospel of Mark. Otherwise known as Mark 4:38. Mark that one in your mind. So basically, to care is to care about. It's to have a care, an interest, or concern concerning something. We're used to the term caretaker. We're taking care of these kids for a couple of days, hopefully delivering them back alive. You know, we're taking care of their needs. They have needs to come up, and we take care of them. You know, some people that are injured have people to take care of them, nursing, doctors, whatever. So it's not a foreign thing in our society or way of living. Mark chapter 4, we're going to look at just a couple uses of the same word, careth. He careth for you. 4 verse 38 says, and he, this is referring to Jesus Christ, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They were on this little boat, and great waves came, and they thought they were going to sink. And these guys are fishermen. They were a pretty tough group. Used to the waves, used to the sea. And they thought, hey, we're going to perish. Don't you even have one concern on this? So they had to wake them up. Can you imagine? Should we wake them up? Do you think the ways will wake them up? I wonder how long of a conversation I had. What should we do? Somebody finally said, hey, wake up. Luke chapter 10. Don't you even care that we might die now? So he brought the answer to God. God told him what to do, and he, told the sea to be still, and it was still. There was a need there, and he took care of it. Luke chapter 10, verse 40. This is Mary and Martha. Verse 40. We'll do verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her that she help me. Bid her therefore that she help me. Mary sat herself down and listened to the word of God that Jesus was teaching, and Martha cumbered herself about with all these things that had to get done, and she's complaining to Jesus, hey, tell Mary to come help me. Don't you care, about this? Dost thou not care that my sister had left me? Don't you have a concern about this, Jesus? John chapter 10. You'll have to read the end of the story to find out what Jesus did.
Pretty interesting.
What's first? John chapter 10, verse 13. This is a section Jesus talking about sheep and shepherds and true shepherds and false ones. Verse 12 says, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. And here's the reason. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. He's just there for the money. That's all he's there for. He's just a hireling, just a hireling. Remember David? He was, when he was shepherding, King David, before he was king, and the lion came, remember? And he said, oh, you can have it. No, I killed it. And then the bear, same thing. Bear, he could have said, bear's got to eat too, and let the bear do it, but no. But he wasn't a hireling. It was his father's sheep. He put his heart and soul into it. But Jesus is saying, hey, the hireling, and the wolf comes, he lets him have it. Because he's there. He really doesn't care. Chapter 12, verse 6. We'll do verse 40, get a little running start. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This very expensive ointment Mary put on Jesus, and he's all upset about it. Verse 6, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. So he made it look like, how come this wasn't used for the poor people? But he really didn't care about the poor people. He just wanted the money. So those are some uses in the Bible. The same word, careth. It's a concern. Let's go to Psalm 23. Very popularly known psalm. Psalm 23. God does care for our lives and every part of it. And if there's a concern that we have, he wants us to cast it upon him. And this is a psalm of David, and of all people to know about shepherding would be David, because he was a shepherd for a long time, and then he became a shepherd to Israel as a king. He was also a prophet. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And the word want there is actually the word for lack. I shall not lack. I shall have no lack. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And as you probably know, sheep do not like, they're kind of pampered animals, or like to be pampered. And they won't drink the water, even if they're thirsty, if it's all stirred up. So the shepherd, in finding places for them to drink, if he couldn't find a little pool area that was naturally quiet, he would set up rocks to set it up where it kind of made a little quiet area. Then they would drink. Otherwise, they just won't drink. Same thing with the green pastures. You know, they just are pampered little animals. Verse 3. He restoreth my soul. And I'm sure many a time through our lives we've had our souls restored. I know I have. You know, something just bangs the heck out of me and I get my soul restored. And that can happen quite often. I mean, how many, you know, we do live in a world, right? We do have a personal adversary that hates us. And the world can be a little mean. And sometimes we need our souls just restored. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He doesn't lead us down the wrong road. He leads us in paths of righteousness. I would suggest going this way. I would, you know, best for you to go this way. And that's what he does. He will lead us as we allow him to lead us. That's how Noah ended up using gopher wood for the ark. You know that, right? He was led by God Almighty. God said, you know, make an ark. And he said, you can do it out of two things. You can make it out of steel or wood. And he said, I suggest gopher wood. That's what I hear. Gopher wood. Anyway, I'd go for wood. So he was leading even Noah back then. Verse 4. Yay, I know. They're not impressed. Yay, though I walk... Really? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou, and here's the reason, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a great psalm. It's showing God's tender care for that young man David and how he took care of his life. Let's go to Psalm 34. Being we're in the neighborhood. And there are gobs and gobs and gobs of verses that I'm sure you can easily reference in your mind as to God's goodness to us and his love and care to us. Here's one, Psalm 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. You got something to say to him? He's got his ears open. Because we're righteous, and the righteous in the Old Testament, he had his ear open unto them. That's quite a privilege. In political circles, sometimes it's said a guy's got connections. That means he can go see the mayor, or he can go see the governor, or he can go see a senator and get an audience with them that other people couldn't, just because he knows them. Well, we have an audience with God. We can go right to God Almighty, say something, and he's ready to listen to us. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Very familiar verse of Scripture. God does really, really care for our lives. And as we cast our care upon him, things can happen for us in a great way. Chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All our need. And he's got quite a treasure chest there in Christ Jesus. Let's go to Gospel of John, chapter 9. Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God, a man who loved God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, who served God, who did God's will, had a concern for people also, and cared for people, cared for God's people. And here's a great illustration of this. This is the record where the man was born blind, and we know, according to scriptures, of course, it was his fault. No. He had nothing to do with being blind. He was born that way. And so, you know the record where he does get healed. Jesus Christ ministered healing to him. He gets healed. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, trying to find out about who did it. And they knew who did it. They knew Jesus did it. They cast this guy out of the synagogue or out of the temple. And so now he's an outcast. And verse 34 says, "And they answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" When he heard, then he went and found him. He searched after him. And it was just very loving of him to do so. Can you imagine being born blind, you hadn't seen all your life? You get healed by this guy, you don't even know who he is. And then he comes and looks for you after you got cast out of the synagogue, from that religious group. It must have been really wonderful for him. Verse 36, "And he answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." You're looking at him, guy. pretty cool. "And he said unto him, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. But he went and found him, because he had a care and a concern for that man's life. Once he found out he was cast out. Let's go to Mark chapter 6. An example of Jesus Christ casting his care upon God. This is, he had sent out the disciples out to witness the word, and they came back and they were all excited, and they came to tell Jesus what all the great things they had seen, and they had seen some wonderful things happen. And at the same time, news came to them that John the Baptist had just been beheaded, which has got to be crushing to Jesus Christ and those men. And so it was a little mixed. They're excited, but over-dampened probably with the sorrow that John the Baptist, a man of God, was murdered. So we're going to pick it up in verse 30. It says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately." So they're going to go spend some time privately together. "And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he had came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things." He had, I'm sure, some needs in his own heart concerning his cousin, John the Baptist, a man who helped prepare his ministry and pave a way for Jesus Christ to be able to do what he did. And so he cast his heart to God. You know, I gotta take care of these people. And you know, I'm sure God did something for him to strengthen him. Verse 35, and when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, ye give them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And the word filled there is the word for, it's kurtazo. It means filled to your capacity. So my capacity may be a little different than other people's as far as food filling. So even guys like me would have been filled, would have been happy. And other people that just went a little bit, they were happy too. Everybody got filled to their capacity. And they took up 12 baskets of full fragments and of the fishes, and they did eat of the loaves, and were about 5,000 men. You think he might have cast a care upon God about the circumstances? We got a lot of people here and are starving, and I don't think they're going to make it going back to their villages. You think he might have cast a care upon God? Maybe. Verse 45, and straightway, immediately, he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. Wow, what a servant. He could have said, hey, okay, you guys wrap up, and I got to go take a rest. He did. He sent them away, and he did the final wrap-up of the 5,000 people. And when he had sent them away, that's when he finally went to sleep.
No.
He went into a mountain to pray. Perhaps he had some things he wanted to cast on God's heart or pray for others. Who knows? Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Just 2 more little sections here. Just examples of people casting their care upon God. It happens also in service towards others. You know, we as a fellowship or an area, we cast our care upon God for things that are our needs in our fellowship, not just our own personal needs. And you know, that's intercession for one another, prayer for one another. We're casting our care and the care of others to God. Acts chapter 4, here's an example. The apostles got in big trouble because they healed, Peter healed a guy, got them all in trouble, and they got reproved by the smart Pharisees and the religious heads and threatened to not talk about God anymore. They said, hey, they raised the finger. I don't know which one it was, but they raised the finger and said, we're just going to speak what God wants us to speak. And they come back to the other believers and pray. Verse 23, and it says, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. And they're going to cast a care that they have to God. And said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David had said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to do. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things that he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. They had a need there. They, as a group, they cast their care upon the Lord and gave him an earful. And God responded with a powerful. Lastly, we're going to Acts chapter 6, another example where needs had come up, and they cast their need to God. And God, by way of revelation or inspiration or reminding of what the Word says, helped them, took care of them. In chapter 6, the Word of God was moving, as you know, in the early book of Acts, as far as just plain old sheer numbers of people. And soon enough, the volume of people with their needs became bigger than those who were ministering the word could take care of. You ever get like that? You got more to take care of than your own 5 senses ability can take care of, or even your spiritual ability. And you need a little help. So that's the point where the church was, and we're going to look at that. In verse 1, it says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians." The Grecians were the Greek people who are getting born again, getting into Word. And there's a murmuring. You know why people murmur? Because they're not blessed. Murmur. And it's basically complaining, whether it's to themselves or to others. You ever hear anybody complain? complain. There was a murmuring. The murmuring became because they weren't getting taken care of. So, up until that time, the believers were basically blessed. We just read where everybody had their needs met, everything was going well, they kept going to God, and now all of a sudden they're complaining. But it's because there's an increase in people. And there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily administration. It's not that those who were taken care of said, screw those women, you know. They did. It's just that the needs became bigger than their ability. So here's what they do. Verse 2. they cast their care, but here's God's answer to the whole thing. "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciple unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore," here's the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, this whole thing. Surely these guys got word of all this murmuring. Murmuring spreads pretty quick. And so they went to God and said, what do we do? And here, God gave them an answer. And here they're now telling it to the believers. This is what we're going to do. "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Look at the order of that. The prayer went before the work of the ministry. "And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man of full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and those other guys. Whom," verse 6, "they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them." They got ordained. "And the word," here's the result. They cast their care upon God. God showed them what to do about the circumstance. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Doesn't talk about the murmuring grew. There was a spiritual solution to the needs that came up. And God worked with them men, those men. They obeyed. Everybody kind of carried out their part. And people were blessed again. Those widows were happy and taken care of. And that's kind of life. You know, we constantly we have needs come up. And we can choose to figure it out ourselves or dump it onto somebody that doesn't have any ability or cast it upon God. And God can say, hey,
okay, this is what you do.
That's where it's back on us, you know. He tells us what to do, then we carry it out. He showed those men, those 12 apostles, what to do about the problem. And they carried it out with the others because they charged those guys, you guys pick it out, pick them out. We know Stephen was quite a man. Philip was quite a man. I don't know about the other guys. They obviously were men with that stuff. It just doesn't say what they did that I'm aware of. But the two that it does talk about, what a wonderful men of God, you know. So we do have a wonderful Heavenly Father that beseeches us to cast out all our care upon Him, not just some of it. And then He does have answers. And those answers may be things we personally have to carry out. I don't know. It's all depending. But what a great truth to know that God does care for us. And His ears are open unto us and can take care of us. He is able, you know, like those believers said in Acts 4. Hey, God, you made the heaven, you made the earth, you made the sea and all of us therein. You know, we got a little need here. Just reminding God of how much ability He has. I always thought that was cute. So.